Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, we celebrate July 4th and Independence Day. It's kind of like this, you know, freedom if you look back in history. And I don't want us to go through American history really this morning. But this whole idea of going into freedom, you know, our idea of freedom sometimes is really tainted by selfishness in the sense that freedom means, you know, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and how I want, okay? And that's our idea of freedom. And in reality, because it's human-based, selfishness-based, I want you to know that that's not freedom at all. That is total bondage. Right? I mean, think about this. If you did everything that your carnal desires just felt like doing whenever they wanted, you'd destroy yourself. I would destroy me. Listen, I thank God for this all the time. I say, God, thanks for not leaving me to myself. I mean that. I still thank Him. I said, Lord, thanks for not leaving me to myself, just abandoning me and just letting me do my thing. See, freedom has to do in God's freedom and His kingdom. The freedom is the freedom from the consequences of sin and now the empowerment to walk in the freedom from sin, to be free from all the hang-ups and ideas, free from all that, to become the person that God desires us to be. We say things like this all the time, oh, I can't do that, or I can't do this, because we don't feel free to do it. Imagine for a moment that the ideals of what we're to become as a person in God, we just say, you know what, I can't do that. Why? Well, because I'm really not free enough to become that. I got, you know, too many issues, I got too much going. What if we were freed from all that, and then we could become what we're supposed to be? See, that's freedom. Freedom to do what we ought, the freedom to become who we're supposed to be without, you know, the things that are tied to us and holding us back. That's freedom, okay? And freedom has, I want you to know, freedom is not without parameters. It's that God has parameters. These are it, His Word. And within His Word, there's total freedom, right? Whoever Christ sets free is free indeed, you know, without question, without argument. They're truly free. And I want us to look this morning at one of the greatest exoduses in all of the history of humanity. And you know that we're going to look in the book of Exodus. And it's going to have to do with God's people and Moses. And I want us to look at this morning. And I know that for most of you, this is not news. But maybe we could be reminded of a few things in our own life. Exodus chapter 1, and I'm going to make reference to several chapters and some verses I'm going to read throughout this morning. But I want us to get the history here. Because, you know, prior to this, you know, you had the patriarchs. You had Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And we know that Joseph, you know, he really became one of a great and trusted ruler in Egypt, really, and was entrusted with so much and was so wise. And God brought him through a journey of his life of ups and downs. Well, what happens after that? As Joseph was there in Egypt and in charge of basically the whole kingdom. Then this happened, Exodus 1. Let's start verse 6. We don't need to know everybody's name. Number 6, chapter 1. Now Joseph had all his brothers and all that generation. They died. But the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous so that the land was filled with them, or Egypt was filled with them. Then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. Ah, change. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, and they will fight against us and leave this country. So, they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. There's the historical setting for Exodus. God's people were numerous. They were living in Egypt. They came there. They multiplied. They were great in numbers. And Pharaoh wasn't aware of all the history. And he said, you know, wait a minute. We don't want this to become, you know, a kingdom that is run by the Jewish people. And so we better start oppressing them and show them who's boss and start using them for our own benefit. And so that's what they began to do. And of course, God's people, they cried out. You look at chapter 3, and you may be able to keep up as I touch through some different chapters. If you can, it's all right. You can always hear the message on our website on a Lifecast or podcast, and we can go from there. So Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them cry out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. I want a little side note here for you, because all of God's word is written for our benefit, for our instruction, our correction, for our encouragement. And so every time we look at this, we want to gain insight to who God is, what was happening with the people, how God dealt with people, because if God is revealed in that, then since he doesn't change, that's how he instructs and deals with people today, me. God is revealed. And so when we look at this, I want you to get a little note here and said, God was concerned with their suffering. God was concerned that they were oppressed. You see, that is our God, filled with compassion. He was concerned with my suffering. Now, what do we suffer with? What was the greatest suffering? Do you know what it is? Struggling, suffering because of sin. Because let's face it, the things in this life, they're going to come and go. And even though it might even be something that takes this body, the body returns to the earth, right, from which it came. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But the spirit, you're made of body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is alive. When the body is gone, you and I still live. Our spirit doesn't waste away. It's not made of earth. Spirit. So the body wastes away, the spirit can still know life and be in agreement with God, at peace with God. We talk about eternity and heaven. And so, you know, the things we suffer with, what is the greatest freedom? The thing that can rob us from eternity with God. That is the greatest suffering of humanity, and sin is what did it. God was concerned about your suffering, your struggle, your wrestle with sin. And so he sent his own son, Jesus. Well, God is concerned with their suffering. And he heard their prayer. And so what does God do? God hears their cries, right? Chapter 3. I've heard their cries. I've heard their misery. I'm moved with compassion. I have concern, God says. And so he raises up a person. He raises up Moses. I mean, he's having this conversation with Moses at the burning bush in chapter 3. He's having this conversation with Moses, and I've heard your people. I'm concerned. They're my people. I want to do something about this. And I'm paraphrasing here, and God says, hey, how about you? How about you, Moses? When there's suffering and oppressed humanity around you, and you recognize it, and you know that God has character and he's concerned with people who suffer because of sin, their own or someone else's, God is concerned, and you recognize it, that's a moment where we need to really open our ears, because God might just be saying, hey, how about I send you? How about I send you? He hears your prayers. He hears the aches of our heart. He's moved with compassion, and he raises people up. He raises people up so that God can have skin on. That's what the church is on earth, right? We're his what? The church is Christ's what? Body. His body. Because he's spirit. God is spirit, right? Jesus came, took on humanity, but his body, right, is gone. But he still lives. And he lives in people who believe in him, who have skin on, that we can reach other people. Humanity. See, God has chosen to use you to have a heart for people, a heart that can bring freedom and set the oppressed free and do things like be involved and celebrate recovery. And maybe it doesn't need to be as formal as a study or program. Maybe it's just simply taking time for somebody. It was just the other day I was driving, and there was a man out, and he was starting to mend a fence. I put my window down. There wasn't any traffic. I said, how you doing today? Well, not too good. I hit the brakes. I said, really? He said, well, I'm doing all right. So I put the car in park. And he said, yeah, I just had heart surgery. I said, really? Now my door went open. And he said, yeah. I said, how long ago? Like, 2 days ago? Or he said, no, about a month and a half ago. And I said, really? Then my boot hit the pavement. And now my car's parked and the door's open and I'm talking to some guy fixing a fence. Hearing his life story. Listening. His name is Chuck. I'm not giving you his last name. Chuck. And listen to the stuff this guy has been through in his life. So I got to meet Chuck. It won't be the last time I meet Chuck, because I know where he lives now. Didn't get to meet his wife, but I know her name. I'm not going to tell you her name, because you're going to think, do I know this person in town? And they do that. I bet you it's them. And then you're going to run over to Chuck and so-and-so's house and say, I heard you met my pastor Ed. And they're going to go, what are you talking about? Because it wasn't them. Where they lived and what he's been through. And first wife left him, got remarried, lost his best friend through a tragic accident. All the stuff that just started to go on in his life. Never met him before, never saw him before. Looking for opportunity to be a real person who cares about people. That's who you are. With the empowerment of God to begin to bring bridges and relationship where somewhere in this conversation you know that it's going to be right and you are going to say, yeah, I want to pray for you. Or I want to tell you about Jesus. Or where is your faith in God? Or your life's been full of pain. Have you ever turned to God? Have you ever prayed? Have you ever talked to Him about all this stuff? How do you make it through life? How have you coped? And you begin this dialogue. God says to Moses, I'm sending you. I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land. Listen to this. God came down because He was concerned for the Egyptians. I'm coming down. I've heard their cry. I'm going to change their situation. I'm concerned about their suffering. I want you to know that God, when He looks at you and He looks at suffering, He says, you know what? I want to come down and I want to change this. Now, I want you to know that some of the things that, now before you run off with something that isn't biblical, and you think Pastor said it, so therefore it's true, you know, some of the suffering that we do is not really suffering. And some of the suffering we do, we bring upon ourselves, and that with a change of our mind and decision, that suffering would just go away. You hear me? So don't play the woe is me when we bring it on ourselves, and if we would make a decision, that suffering would just immediately go away. Now, God does help those who bring suffering upon themselves because of poor decisions. I mean, we do that all the time. God has great compassion. It's not about you deserve to be delivered or not. It's that He loves us. But some of the things we complain to God about happening in our life were not things that we're just locked up in. They're just things that we don't choose to live differently. And so it continues. God can help us with that, and we can pray to Him about it. But it's not like some miracle is needed. We just need to say, you know, I just need to start looking at your scripture, and I need to start living this way. And help me, because it's going to be a hard change. And God is there, and He will help, and He will bring deliverance to us. Anyhow, starts with prayer, God's compassion. He raises someone up. And then chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, so Moses thought, I will go, oh, sorry, that's the wrong, it's a whole chapter 3 and a whole chapter 4. That Moses begins to discover that this is going to take faith and courage. You hear that? Because he's telling them, I'm going to send you. And this is what's going to happen. And this is what you're going to say. Because you will be confronted. And you will stand in the presence of Pharaoh. And you will go back to the people. And he's like, well, if I go, and suppose I do this. Moses starts saying stuff like we do. If I'm going to do this, or suppose that I do. Just, you know, pretend for a moment, God, with me. If, suppose I do it. And he starts asking God questions. And the wonderful thing is God's willing to talk with him. God's willing to talk with him. God is not always like our parents. Because I said so! Okay? And God could do that because he's holy. And there are times that he's tired of answering all of our questions. But God's willing to dialogue with us. He's dialoguing with Moses. Moses asks the question, suppose I go, and what about this? And God says, this is what you say. This is what you do. And I'm going to do this. And they're going to see me deliver them. So it's okay to get in dialogue. But this is how freedom comes. There's a conflict. There's suffering. There's a problem. And God gets concerned. And he hears the groans and the cries of your heart, my heart, and our life. And then he comes to answer. He comes to speak. He comes to deliver. And many times he raises somebody up. But along the way, it takes faith and courage. When we become Christians, it's not about, well, I'm a Christian, so God just, you know, I'm a Christian and I love him and I'm going to go to heaven. And, you know, the rest is up to God to do. No, this is about us responding in faith to God and feeling the responsibility to be courageous in our faith. It doesn't mean aggressive and repulsive. It just means that we are assertive in our faith. We will take steps that are courageous. We will be brave. We will not back down from what we know to be true. We will not back down from His promises. We will not back down when the mountain seems big. We're still going to hold to that who we know is true. And so it takes faith and courage for freedom to come. The other thing for freedom to come that we discovered through this whole exodus of people is in chapter 7 through 11, the plagues. It takes consistency and perseverance. When we are on our way to freedom and walking in freedom, or caring about somebody else who's trying to make their trek for freedom, and we try to encourage and link arms with them, understand that, you know, there can be a moment of revelation. But from the moment of revelation, we've still got to continue to walk from the moment of revelation and walk through life with the promise of the revelation and the understanding. And stuff is going to try to threaten and try to stop. But you know what? We got to stay consistent. And we just got to persevere. God said, you're going to go and Pharaoh's not going to listen to you. But I will deliver my people. And so God sent, you know, plague after plague. Moses had to keep going back to Pharaoh. He wouldn't listen to plague one. He wouldn't listen to the first request, let God's people go. He had to go back into Pharaoh's presence. God said, well, say this to him. Okay, we'll see if that works. And the plague comes. Pharaoh hardens his heart. Moses has to go back. Moses thinking, you know, when's this going to work? I thought you were going to do this. Goes back into Pharaoh's presence. Then he says what God says this time. And then he leaves thinking, woohoo, there it is. You know, you think you'd learn after the first time. Now it's going to be the second plague. Certainly when I go back, Pharaoh's going to go, okay. Pharaoh hardened his heart. In fact, if we look back, even before some of the plagues at the request coming, Moses has this complaint with God. It's in chapter 5. In verse 22, Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's brought trouble upon this people. And you have not rescued your people at all. Moses is really real and raw with God. He says, you sent me. I spoke to Pharaoh in your name. You promised to deliver, and more trouble came upon your people. You haven't done anything to deliver them at all. Moses isn't being disrespectful. He doesn't understand. He's being honest, and he's a little frustrated. I mean, I saw the burning bush with my own eyes, took the sandals off, heard your voice. You did the thing with the staff, and it's a snake, and you did all that, and then I went and did what you did, and nothing happened. Consistent. Persevere. We don't always see everything that God sees. You see, in our life, you say, well, God, you made a promise, and I went and did this. I lived by this principle. I changed this one thing in my life for an hour. And you didn't do anything. I started to pray about this. Things got worse. It doesn't mean that every time we pray about it, it's going to get worse. It's like the old saying that say, oh, pray for anything you want with God, but don't pray for patience. Then he's going to bring all this kind of bad stuff in your life just so you can learn to be patient. Where did we get that theology? Because I started to pray for it and things got worse. We're identifying with Moses. I went. I did what you said. It got bad. It got worse. God's response is, hey, I'm going to deliver them. God can see what we can't see. And in our estimation, sometimes things get worse before they get better. And, you know, that happens to a few people. So now we just make that a big theology. Well, just remember, when you're going to go pray for this, it's going to get worse for a while first, and then it'll get better. That is not what always happens. Maybe that's what's always happened in your life because that's all you've ever had faith for. And it's not that it doesn't come without battles, because this trek to freedom, yeah, it comes by prayer, it comes by God's compassion, it comes by him raising people up or a person up, it comes by faith and courage, it comes by consistency and perseverance. And I'll tell you another thing that freedom comes by. You learn it after the final plague happens. Pharaoh finally says, go, get your people, get them out of here. You know what it took after that? It took sweat. You want to make everything spiritual, and God has to do it, and we're just moved by the Spirit, and we float around. You want to be a Christian? It's going to take sweat for freedom after all this other stuff. Because you know what they had to do to leave? They had to pack stuff up. God didn't say, okay, all you angels, go down there and pick up their stuff and carry it with them. You followed Christ, you prayed, he showed up, he had compassion. You're starting to feel the freedom. You're told you can be free. You start following them, and things get a little rough terrain, a little bump in the road, a little glitch. Listen, it takes sweat. They had to pack stuff up and move it, carry it through dry and arid places, hot in the day and cold at night, and hey, man, it took work. This wasn't, well, you're delivering us, so I'll walk, but God, if you don't mind, be the bellboy and carry my stuff. They had to pack it up. They had to choose what they're bringing and what they're leaving behind. And they had to load it. And they had to carry it and walk with it and ride with it. And it takes sweat. Listen, who Jesus sets free is free indeed. And you are forgiven of sin. But after that point, you know what? It takes a call of responsibility. And we still live by faith, but because we have this faith, we'll sweat. We'll work. We'll discipline ourselves. Well, Lord, you know, by your Spirit, I just want you to set that person free, but I don't want to have to be inconvenienced to, like, go over there. It takes work. It takes sweat. It's partnering with God. It's allowing Him to lead. We just want it all to be easy. Listen, salvation is free. No question. Jesus paid it. He's the only one that could foot the bill. You and I couldn't do it. Our good works couldn't get us there. But now that we have faith in Him and we are free, we can have faith and we can have courage. And circumstances may change and they may look darker. It doesn't mean back down. It doesn't mean give up. It doesn't mean, oh, it ain't God's will. It means we're consistent, we persevere. And you know what? A little bit of sweat. A little bit of action to our faith. Works that go along with what we proclaim to be. All these things working together. You know, they get told they can go. And isn't that just like sin or the devil or habit stuff? Oh, that's it. I'm broken. You can go. You're free. And we make our trek out of Egypt. Or we make our trek out of bondage or out of sin. And they're on their way. And then what happens? Pharaoh and his army go chasing them. We're going to get you back. We're going to kill you. We're going to, you know, do all this stuff to you. And they walk out and they're free. And then, you know, it's all of a sudden the armies of Pharaoh are coming after them. And they're at a point where they're standing at the edge of a sea, out on a point, nowhere to go. And the people start complaining. Oh, you brought us out here to die. We could have just stayed in Egypt and stayed in bondage. It would have been so easier just to, you know, stay in that old lifestyle. I've made this change and now I'm at an end and I don't know what to do and now it's going to get me. God gives instructions. Moses says, behold, to the people, behold the glory of God. And he stands there, raises his hands in the staff, and the sea opens up, and they cross across. They cross across. That was really good English. They could walk across on dry ground. There, I did it. It was complicated for a guy who, you know, graduated from high school. Walk across on dry ground, and then as they are being pursued, God closes the waters up and wipes out the armies of Pharaoh in Egypt. There's a few lessons here for us to learn. Beyond the things that we've just shared, what lesson one is this: for freedom in our life, it takes God to free us. You hear that? It takes God to free us. Second lesson: it takes God to keep us free. See, God freed them from Egypt, and they were walking out, and they were happy. Only that could happen by God. And then they got to a point where thinking, hey, we're free. And then they get to a point where they're being pursued again by the old stuff, the old taskmaster, the old sin. And we're like complaining, and I should just go back, and I can't make it. No, why did I do this? And, you know, God toyed with me, and we start getting on that mentality instead of standing there and saying, God, I've come as far as I can. I need you to help keep me free. And God shows up. It took God, and it reminded them that God set them free, and it takes God for us to continue to be free. Third lesson. You'll find this throughout Scripture. You find it in Exodus 32 when they built the golden calf. They disobeyed. You'll find it in Joshua chapter 1 when Joshua was taken across to the promised land. God speaks very clearly to Joshua. And he says, you know what? Don't let the words of my law, don't let the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to observe and obey all that I have written in it. Third thing is, because first thing, takes God to get us free. Two, it takes God to keep us free. And third, it takes obedience to continue to live free. That's what it takes for us. It's what it takes for everybody. It takes God to free us. And number two, it takes God to keep us free. You cannot do it on your own. And thirdly, to continue to walk in a life of freedom, it takes obedience. Obey Him. He is not a hard taskmaster. He is full of grace and truth. He loves, He wants to bless, He wants to empower, He wants to give purpose. All the freedoms we can have to become that, what we should. You want to celebrate freedom? I want you to know that freedom does not come by a government. There's a lot of people who are free who live under the tyranny of an oppressive leader in this world in different countries. And there are people there who believe in Jesus Christ, and they are free. Listen, we live in what we call a free country, and we got people so lost in bondage. Freedom does not come by government. Oh, it can make the practical things of life maybe a little easier in what we call a free country. But it doesn't guarantee that people are free. Freedom is a personal thing, found in faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God only. And it takes Him to make us free, to keep us free. And our decision to respond to His grace and mercy in freeing us and keeping us free, that we will obey Him, that we can continue to live in a life of freedom. That's what freedom is. Maybe you'll remember this morning a few of the things, what it takes on the road to freedom in the way of prayer and God raising someone up. Listen, for all of us who don't like to take advice or counsel from people, God might be raising somebody up to speak into your life. Don't be a Pharaoh and not listen, because you have pride and you're bound up in arrogance. Maybe some of the things people say don't ring true, and everybody's always giving advice. And I'm not saying you got to listen to everybody and do what they say. But if we are so bound up in the Egypt of pride and arrogance, when God may be trying to speak through someone, let Him raise somebody up. And if the words come out of their mouth, and God will sprinkle them on your heart and say, you know, maybe this is just me speaking to you through this person. And maybe they're unlikely, maybe they're a friend, maybe they're somebody you don't really care for, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kid, Maybe we need to humble ourselves and embrace the journey, the trek to freedom, just like God's people did. But do it without murmuring so we don't miss out on His promise.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.